Praise the Lord and welcome to the afternoon service. For the youths that don't know, there's a number of our people that are away today for different reasons, so we're just a smaller number, but we are ready to worship the Lord. Let us sing 110, I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Shall we stand as we sing? Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, I am redeemed, and I know I am. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, saved from sin, and I know I am. All my sins are taken away. Blood of the Lamb, I am redeemed, and now I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, saved from sin, and now I am, all my sins are taken away, praise the Lord, once more, I am. Come and let us go up the mountain of the Lord, up to the mountain of the Lord. 1, 2, 4. Come and let us go.
Come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God. Come and let us go.
Going to sing Majesty, Worship His Majesty on 172, and we'll have testimonies if anyone would like to share with in a little while.
Majesty, worship His Majesty.
We'll sing 167, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by
I'm just going to pray now for Sister Anna Ganano of our fellowship, who's not well at this time. Sister June's been in contact with her and she's not very well at all. Not sure what the reason is, but we'll just pray for her. Lord Jesus, we just come before you and ask for the healing of our Sister Anna, who's always here where she can be, Lord, and we just ask your healing hand upon her. Whatever her need is, just raise her up, Lord. May she know that we are praying for her. And just say thank you, Lord, for being with her. May she have the confirmation from the Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do we have any testimonies anyone would like to share? Brother Tom.
Just give praise and glory to our King, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. When I first came here, I've been here for 4 Sundays now, and I have seen the passion, the love of God in this church. I see it in my brothers and sisters that are here. So I just praise the Lord for that. And I just give him all, you know, I'm just overwhelmed by the passion that I see within this church. And what was laid on my heart, the Holy Spirit is called it the promise of God. He makes us alive, giving us revelations into the heart of God. So we can know him. He gives us boldness, peace, joy, and the ability to love and overcome the gift that the Father gave to us through his Son is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That's true. We know that it's the love of God that binds us. It's not which church you belong to. It's just knowing that you're part of the family of God, and anyone that loves Jesus is part of the family, and that's why people feel at home. And it's always an uplift to us, and it's good to hear, though. It encourages others when people that listen over the internet and CDs that don't have the fellowship like we're able to have here, and they can go and feel free to say to somebody down the street, somebody that may know, I've seen that person, I think that person I've seen, could be a Christian, but they just hearing that kind of testimony, they'll think, oh God, ask them, I love the Lord, do you? You know, and they might say, yes I do. And then there's fellowship. That's how God works. My wife Barbara,
I'd just like to thank the Lord for getting us through to Tauranga on Monday. We left about 9:30 and it took us a very slow trip because of the rock falls and water across the road, and it was bad all the way to the turn off to Whakatane, and the gorge was closed just after we'd got through. And so I just thank the Lord that he kept it open, and having a bigger car, we were able to get through a lot of the flooding. So thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I know what it was like. I was sitting right beside you. You know, it really was quite severe. It was when it was, you might have seen in the newspaper on when we got back about photographs and everything. Well, it was even worse than that was showing there when we were in the gorge. And a number of times as we just came round the tar seal to go around the road, might be go like that, we found if that was the edge of the tar seal, there was nothing underneath it. So luckily I saw it coming the way I was, and I kept well on the wrong side of the road almost, because it's going to be a dropout. I could see it going to happen. And then when we had got to the near Apodiki, we even stopped and asked some workers on the road, proper road workers, and saying, do you realise what this is like where we've just come through? Others have been telling us. And I said, Barbara said to them, are you going to close the gorge? He said, I don't think so. Well, we said, you need to, because for us to get, if this is a road here like that on this particular thing, I'm travelling along the left side of the road. I had to get right out there, off the tar seal, onto the gravel, because that was just a great big metal slip, and inside it, or on top of it, was this huge tree. And we had to go around that to get through. A couple of trucks that were waiting to come that way saw me get through, and then in my rear vision mirror, I saw them actually just force their way through the tree just to get, because trucks had the power to do it. And then we found out later on that the whole gorge was closed immediately after we went through. And when we got to Apodiki Bridge on the way to Whakatane, the water out of the gorge river was that deep, short of the road. It was, I've never seen it so big, and I've been on that road many times. So, however, we always pray, Barbara and I, and I'm sure others do when you go on a trip, always pray. Thank you, Lord. Ask him to watch over us. And we don't want to come, as my father used to say, you don't want to come across an accident or break down our injuries to save us from those things and just return us safe. He did exactly that, even though it was that close to being closed. Any other testimonies? Sister Merle?
I truly love the Lord with all my heart, and I want to sincerely thank him for his love, grace and mercy in granting Robert and I 60 years married next Thursday. I truly do thank the Lord for that. There's been rough times like everybody's marriage, but I really thank God for it, all his blessings in our marriage. And I will say now, my husband is the man I married now, and I just thank God for it. I really do. We won't be here at the weekend. We'll be down in Wanganui celebrating. So God bless you all, and I thank you. But thank you, Lord, for that wonderful blessing of 60 years. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's very good. Thanks, Sister. Behind you, Brother Brian, Sister Bubs.
Hi.
Yep.
I just want to...
Just got a little jump.
I just want to thank the Lord for last night. Peter and I went out to Stuart Patrick Sindorf, and people that came around to talk to Peter and I and talk to me mainly about how we're getting on and that, I was able to tell them, no, I'm happy and I'm praising the Lord. And they said to me, oh, we can see it on your face. I said, yes, that's where I'm going to worship now. And they said, we're happy for you. So I thank the Lord for that. That you have been so good to Peter and I and making us feel part of the family of God.
Amen. Yeah, it's good to have. There's some lovely people out there in those churches. They haven't had the opportunity or haven't partaken of the invite the Lord gives, that anybody can come unto the Lord Jesus Christ if they would just make that decision. See, a lot of people do, and I'm not talking about anyone I even know about, but they think because they go to a church, that's it. No, it's not. It's being in the family of God. We're sons and daughters of God, and all those that come in loving the Lord are my brothers and my sisters. That's the way it is. Any others? Sister Diane?
Is it okay if I sing a song? I've had this one on my heart, and every testimony that people have spoken, the words have come out, and I just think I'm being prompted. I better sing it. It's actually the one we've just sung, The Family of God, but it's the verses that go with it. So can I just sit here? Or?
Say brother and sister around here, that's because we're a family and these folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear.
Sing with me.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountains, cleansed by His blood, joined us with Jesus as we travel this song. For I'm a part of the family.
Lord always works at both ends. Testimonies, songs, whatever, He just builds them together. Any others? Okay. Let's sing one more and then Brother Howard will come. I'm following Jesus, number 153. Shall we stand as we sing this, as Howard comes? All right, Taz. Taz Collier, for those that don't know, this fine, upstanding man. Following Jesus, one step at a time, I live for the moment in His love divine. Thank you.
Father, Almighty God and Saviour, Lord, we just come into your awesome presence. Lord, we come to hear from you. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that my brothers and sisters here will not hear me, but rather that they hear you. That they hear you, Lord Jesus, as you minister your love, your grace, and your encouragement to them. And to us all. So be glorified through this ministry, O God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Let us sing Above All Powers. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth. Last week we started discussing and talking about change. I made a distinguishing difference, if you like, between what we call change and what we call revival. Even though they are basically the object of the both of them, or what they're trying to achieve in our lives is basically the same. Except that revival tends to come in waves, whereas change is something that you and I face every day. Sometimes we don't like it, but change is always challenging you and I. And so I read from Isaiah 43:14-19 last week. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sakes I will send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee in those ships they are so proud of. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned. Their lives snuffed out like a smouldering candle wick. So I mentioned last week that before God is about to introduce change or revival to his people, what he's tried to do is to remind them of past victories that he has brought into their lives. The awesomeness of his power and that sort of thing. But what amazes me is how after God actually highlighting all of that to his people, and then he turns around and he says, but forget all about that. Just leave it behind you. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. So I emphasized last week the importance of letting go of our past. There are a lot of God's people out there that have issues, whether it's hurts from within the church or whatever. But the problem is they are holding on to those issues and they are refusing to let those issues go, to let their past go. And like we shared last week, is that if you and I refuse to let go of our past, then basically we will remain there. We become fettered to it. And our past dominates us even as much as you and I try and move into the future. But the problem is when we try to move into the future, our past, because we won't let it go, is always pulling us back. And that's why it's important that there has to be a letting go before a taking hold of. Very important. So like Lot's wife, if you and I refuse to let go of the past and move into the new that God has for us, if we stay fettered to our past, like Lot's wife, she came out of Sodom physically, but her mind and her heart were still fettered to her past. And she could not help but turn around to look at her past. And of course, she became what God reduced her past to be, pillar and salt. And so that's why it's important that we learn those type of lessons. And like I say, from my own experience, it's not easy. But oh, the victory when you manage to let go. The victory and the freedom. It's absolutely amazing. Let us carry on and talk about change. It is said that for any person or any organization, ministry or any relationship to have longevity, you must be able to manage continuity on the one hand and change on the other. And you must have the capacity to renew from within. Remember last week we said God works from the inside out, not from the outside in. So he always goes for the heart. I always say over and over again, God is a God of hearts. He is a God of hearts. Why? Because if he's got your heart, he's got you total. Out of your heart comes everything the rest of your life. And that's where God is. That's where he wants to go for. If he's got your heart, he has got your life. Very important. So we must have the capacity to renew from within. And when you and I are managing continuity and change, we have to know what to change and what to continue. Very important. You have to be able to identify areas in your life that you need to change, but also at the same time make sure that you don't change areas in your life that need to continue. Because if you change what you should continue, what happens is that you lose your identity. and fail to attain your purpose. That's the consequences of changing something that you shouldn't change. You should continue. If you continue what you should change in your life, whether it be your life individually, or whether it be even our lives as a church of believers, if we continue what we should change, we lose our relevance. That's a very important issue that we have to wrestle with as a church, as people of God, because the generations have changed. So how do we minister the gospel still with its power, still with its purity, still with its holiness? But how do we minister that to the younger generation? And unfortunately, what has happened is that, certainly from what I've seen, is that a lot of churches have in their aim to so-called reach the younger people, is they have changed things that they shouldn't change. And they have continued things that they should change. So it's a very narrow line that we have to watch. So, again, if we change what we should continue, we lose our identity and fail to attain our purpose. If we continue what we should change, we lose our relevance and therefore our capacity to grow, to have impact, or even remain alive. Very important. So this is essential in every form of relationship, even including a marriage. Marriage has got to, there's always got to be a continual renewing within the marriage, from within. Otherwise, marriages die. And unfortunately, again, where once the church as a whole used to be a pillar with regards to marriage, hanging in there and that sort of thing. Now, basically, as far as I'm aware, the statistics of broken marriages within the church is no different from what's happening out in the world. And we have to ask why. There is something wrong somewhere. Also, when we talk about change, we either grow together, same in a marriage, any relationship, we either grow together or we grow apart. This is true for every relationship, organization, church, or whatever it is. And that's what I love about the atmosphere and the spirit that I feel in this place. The intimacy that you have for one another. The friendship that you have for one another. That is a beautiful thing. And what I see through that is the potential for this place to be able to explode out into the community. But our question is, how do we do it? Hey, that's our challenge. But when you talk about the foundation of love and aroha and gospel preaching, it is all here, Howard. It is all here. And my prayer is that God will blow you away as a congregation and that he will honor the cry of your hearts. I can hear your cry here. I know what that cry is. And the prayer of my heart is that knowing God, one day he'll just blow you away. All right. So it's all about preparation. That's where God is neat, you see. He's always preparing us, as I shared last week. Many times he's working underneath, but we don't see it. We don't see it. But he's laying the foundations. He's reinforcing things that need to be reinforced and that sort of thing. So that when revival takes place, we don't stuff it up. Hey. So that's why we have to trust God and work on ourselves and strengthen ourselves, identify areas in our lives individually, corporately, that maybe might hinder revival, any revival that comes our way. As you're probably aware of, you know, the revivals they had, especially in the late 80s and early 90s. They call a couple of those revivals. I don't think they were revivals. Because the manifestation that was taking place in those areas where those revivals were supposedly happening, the manifestation that was happening among the people, those were the same manifestations that I saw when I was casting demons out of people. People barking like dogs, crowing like roosters, rolling around on the floor uncontrollably. That's the same manifestation that I've seen when demons are cast out of people's lives. So how can we say that that was the kingdom of God in action? Never measure. And also the other thing is the fruit out of those two particular moves was broken churches everywhere. Call that revival? I don't call it revival. And that's why we have to be on the alert, especially those of us who are in areas of leadership. We have to be sharpened and on the alert for any move or whatever that takes place. And sometimes when something happens, we need to just step back and weigh it in and listen to the general, our Lord Jesus Christ, saying yes, no. And especially in these last days, because Jesus has warned us that there will be false moves, false prophets, all that sort of thing. So we have to be sharp in these last days. We don't rush into anything. It's very important. So we either grow together or grow apart. There are no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. So all of us are affected by change. We belong to a vast community or family of believers in Jesus Christ. None of us can make it on our own. Jesus designed it that way. No lone rangers. There's a lot of lone rangers out there that don't even bother going to church. Oh, I get my ministry from the television. That's what they say. See, the problem is that if you and I don't join and belong to a community, there is no accountability. So I can do my own thing, be my own self, and I'm not accountable to anybody. But once I step in to a group of believers, the dynamics are different. I'm accountable to you. Everybody here, we're all accountable to one another. So that's why community and family is very important. When family units, both natural as well as spiritual, when family units in any community breaks down, whether it be a natural family or a spiritual family, when family units break down within a city, what happens is that the communities break down. Then once the communities break down, the nation breaks down. God's designed it that way. And that's why His church is the only organization, if you like, the only body in the world that must stand firm. We must stand firm against the attacks of the enemy. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why did He say that? Because coming against the church and coming against you and I are spiritual powers and operating through people that are trying to get you and I to compromise. They're trying to get you and I to compromise the values, the systems and everything that God holds as holy, as dear. So if the church compromises, what hope is it for the world? And that's why we have to watch what's coming in to the house of God. I feel a real burden for that because I've seen it. I've got grandchildren, brothers and sisters, who were brought up in the church. A couple of them were even worship leaders. One of them who was involved in worship is now a lesbian. So we have to ask, what's going on in the church? How did that happen? That's what's happening. And like I say, if we can't be strong and if we can't present the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ in a way that it really transforms the lives of people and our young ones, then what hope is there for them? It really grieves my heart when I think of my grandchildren. And the thing that breaks my heart even more is that the parents, my sons, my daughters, who were in the church, that sort of thing, they are now out there. So what hope do my grandchildren have if my sons and my daughters don't stay true to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Out there doing their own thing, again, because they've been offended, that sort of thing. That's the sad thing about it. But I cry in my heart for my grandchildren, and now I've got great-grandchildren. How many have we got here, though? 18, 19 great-grands or something. I'm losing count. But see, what hope do they have when the ones who are supposed to be above them, the parents, and like I say, my children are now grandparents. I'm a great-grandparent. They are now grandparents, but see, they've lost their way. And that caused me a lot of grief. Whatever. But unfortunately, that is what's happening within the church. And that's why we have to, as I shared with Howard yesterday, what we have to do is we have to start closing ranks. We have to start grabbing each other by the arm and close in and tighten up with one another. And those of us who are in areas of leadership, we have to be able to identify the breaches that are happening within the army of God, identify those breaches and then reinforce those breaches to make sure that the enemy can't advance any further. So if it's a breach of accepting stuff that they shouldn't accept, well then it's up to us leaders to actually come around and reinforce that breach. Breaches of compromise. All that sort of thing. Even breaches of not getting into regular prayer, attending church regularly, all those type of breaches. Because when you have those breaches within the church that is a spiritual house, then it'll never stand. It'll never be able to survive. But we have a responsibility as leaders to identify those breaches, and even at the cost of becoming unpopular, we have to reinforce those breaches. But most of God's people, I think, if you explain what you're doing and why you're doing it, they will accept it. And the reason why those of us in leadership have to do that sort of thing is because we have to protect the flock from trying to work out those type of issues and problems themselves. And then the poor things, they go, they get hurt, then they start hurting one another and it just goes on. It's our responsibility as leaders. We have to identify those things and somehow or other we have to reinforce those breaches. Very important. One thing I don't want to see in this fellowship is division starting to come in and that sort of thing. There's a beautiful unity here. There's a lovely unity. And when you have an army that's in full unity, nothing can waste them. I watch Band of Brothers about every 18 months because there's a lot of lessons in that series about unity and guys being strong and watching each other's backs and staying focused and all that sort of thing. I just love that series. And I always look at it from a spiritual angle. And I think, oh, Lord, if you can have a church like that. Man, absolutely awesome. All right? So Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Last night, as you probably know, there was the gates of hell that was released up in Auckland. the gay march. That's a gate of hell. And that gate wants to penetrate the church. That's one of the gates that's coming against us, is that particular movement. And it's coming against the church left, right and centre. And that's why we have to identify those type of gates of hell that are coming against the church. And we have to make sure that that gate doesn't prevail against us. We have to stand up and we have to be strong. We have to be strong because otherwise all of these movements that are coming against us, they are going to cause us, and somehow or other I'm already seeing that, is the church is now going into a place, instead of a place of enforcing the kingdom of God, the church is starting to retreat. And it's starting to hide. Because it's frightened. It hasn't got the courage to be able to come against those things. And of course our excuse often is, it's okay, the Holy Spirit will do it. Yes, I fully agree with that. But we are the body of Christ. He can't do it without the body. The Holy Spirit can't do it. And he has to do it through his church. Very important. And so, I want to talk a wee bit about our thought life. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The New King James Version says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you and I must be willing to change the way we think, or allow our minds to be transformed, as this has an impact on you and I's ability, these scriptures have said, on you and I's ability to know God's good and acceptable and perfect will for our lives. Often that's where the problem is. It's in our thinking, it's in our thought life that you and I are unable to know God's plan, his purpose, his will for our lives. So the renewing, transforming of our minds is very crucial. This is where strongholds often nest, is in our thought life. Our thoughts, our perceptions, and the way we see things through our minds. Remember, the thoughts that you and I accept as truth in our minds end up in our hearts and will eventually become the lives that you and I will live. That's where all the information of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, is being bombarded at the people of the world, is at their minds. Whether it be through television, whatever it is, because that's where the information comes in. And so that's why it is very important that you and I have to watch what we accept in our minds as truth. The Bible talks about you and I weighing every thought up against the Word of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the Word of God. So whenever a thought comes our way, we always measure that thought against the Word of God. Amen? Very important. Our thought life is very important. So again, the thoughts that you and I accept as truth in our minds end up in our hearts and will eventually become the lives that we live. I put it another way. The lives that you and I live and the way that you and I live are an outcome or manifestation or a result of the thoughts that you and I have accepted as truth and embraced as truth in our mind and in our hearts. So if you want to know how a person thinks, have a look at their surroundings and all that sort of thing. When I first became a Christian, like I said, the pastor that we had, he was a real apostle. And he was very tough on us guys, on the men in the church. Very tough. And he had the home group. We had cell groups around, 86 around the Waikato. And the cell group leaders were given permission to go around and check the homes of all the guys, make sure that the lawns were mowed, that the gardens were properly weeded, that the homes were well cared for. Why? Because from his point of view, that's the gospel. Your neighbours are looking at your home. So if your home is nothing but chaos and you go and try and share the gospel with them, that's not gonna attract them. So he was very firm about that. And at the same time, he was also very firm on the woman. A lot of ladies would come and sit in the front row with short skirts on. And he'd have a go at them and say, "What are you trying to do with my men? Get yourself properly dressed. Don't come and show flesh in this place. I don't want to upset my men." He was straight up. He was an apostle. And that's where he was absolutely awesome. And like I say, he didn't finish up with 2,600 in his congregation for nothing. It was because the Holy Spirit honored the ministry that he gave. And again, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will honor this place. It's coming. It is coming. So when change, in Isaiah 55:8-9, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So what's the principle here? If you and I think wrong, we will weigh wrong. That's the principle. If you think wrong, you will weigh wrong. You will live wrong. Again, I'll read that scripture. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So when change comes into our lives, and remember the agent of change is the Holy Spirit, it will often challenge the status quo. That is the way that we have thought things or seen things or done things or even believed things for a long period of time. Our comfort zone is challenged because now it is probable that we have to go beyond what we have usually done and even what we believe we are capable of doing. Change will often challenge our traditions. Matthew 15:6, Jesus said, "Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." So sometimes we can stubbornly hang on to certain traditions that just become a barrier to the word of God and the ministry of God having an effect on our lives. Very important. Change usually comes to push us into the realm of faith. Remember, the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Amen. We are saved by faith. We are to live by faith. When Jesus is about to bring change and it requires you and I stepping out of our comfort zone, what we really need to hear is what Peter heard before he stepped out of the boat and into change. He heard one word from the Master, and that word was, "Come." We need to hear that voice. Come. Come into change. So Peter, in this case, was the only one in the boat who was willing to step out from the comfort of the present that was being shaken by a storm. He was the only one that was willing to respond to the voice of the Master who was calling, "Come, step out of there and step into change." So it's very important. So again, our thought life is very critical. So with regards to change, remember to be insane is to do the same things the same way and expect a different outcome or result in our lives, whether it be individually or even corporately as a church. I'll repeat that. The definition of insanity, being insane, is when you do the same things the same old way and you're expecting a different result. That is insane. You have to change. You have to change. You can't carry on doing the same things the same old way or whatever and expect a different outcome. It will never happen. That is a Bible principle. So again, our thought life is very critical when it comes to managing change in our lives. So change becomes the only option when we're in that situation where for some reason we're not getting the results or the positive outcome that we're longing for. So change becomes the only option. However, when you and I are considering change, and I think I hinted about it earlier, we must also remember that there are spiritual and biblical foundations to our lives, individually as Christians or corporately as a church. There are certain biblical foundations and principles that must never be changed. But the way that we build on those foundations, the methods that you and I use, they may have to change as the Holy Spirit together with the Word of God directs us. So we must be able to make changes and adjustments, but without compromising the core values of our faith and the principles of the Word of God. We don't move away from those foundations. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ and his teachings must always be at the center of whatever you and I are trying to build. We must never wander off onto roads of our own agendas, but rather we must stay focused on the mission that Jesus has given us in accordance with Matthew 28 verses 18 to 20, where he said, all authority, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Why is he saying that? Because that power and that authority that was given to him by God is now given to you and I. You and I have that power, that authority. Brothers and sisters, God is not sending you and I out into the world without you and I being equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit. God won't do that to us. So I'm learning to trust that I have it all. It might appear to be a form of arrogance, but really it's not. I'm grasping hold of the truth that when I asked the Father for the Holy Spirit, he gave the Holy Ghost to me. And he didn't give the Holy Ghost to me in part. He gave the Holy Spirit to me in total. And so I'm not swayed by my feelings, even though sometimes they try and challenge me sometimes. Sometimes you feel, oh, where are you, Lord? But I'm trusting that the Word of God is true, that when I asked, I received. And by gosh, I wouldn't have lasted this 33-odd years as a Christian now, if not for the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I'm learning to treasure my friend, my comforter, my counselor, the one who is with me and in me. I'm learning to trust him more and more than ever before. And he's a wonderful friend. I know some of you may get offended at this, but I played rugby. I was mad on rugby. My brother and I, when we were young, we used to play 3-4 games a weekend, looking around for teams that were short and that sort of thing. So rugby, to a certain extent, was an idol that I had to really deal with. when at the last World Cup, like Heather will vouch for me, I don't watch all the games, but I watch certain games. But at the last World Cup, I watched the All Blacks play, and the next morning I was in my bathroom, I was having a shave, and I just heard this voice inside of me say, "You know what, I enjoyed watching that game with you last night." That's my friend. Jesus is my friend. He sticks closer than a brother. And when you get those type of areas, things in your life, when you get them in the right perspective, God comes in and celebrates those. I mean, there's a lot of brothers and sisters that you and I have playing rugby, netball, all those sort of things. That's why God has given this young fellow over here all the muscles he has. Not so that he can just sit around, but so that he can enjoy sport and the challenges of sport, especially with us men. We need that. Again, another concern that I have is how our boys and our young men are being feminized. It's happening. No fathers. And so by the time they hit 10, 11 years old, they are confused and they are aggro. They are absolutely angry because there is something in them that is saying to them, "You're a man, you're a male, you're a you're a scrapper." And what's happening is that because they're only being brought up by their mothers, the mothers are, when that starts manifesting, if you like, the mothers try and suppress that. They don't have fathers like the father I had, praise God for the daddy I had, that would take us aside, put us on a fence line, or throw us on a horse and all that sort of thing. Our boys, pray for our young boys. Our young men, pray for them because they have no fathers. They have no fathers. I really feel for our young boys. And like I say, it's no wonder they are aggro. No wonder they are angry because they are having problems with their own identity. They are confused. So we must pray. Pray for our boys. Pray for our young men. You see, if Satan destroys manhood, then basically he's destroyed a nation. That's the order that God has. So Satan is cunning. He knows where to go. He knows who to bring down, because once he kills manhood in a nation, in a community, that community is basically up for grabs. So guys, be strong. Be strong in the power of the Lord's might within you. And if need be, don't be frightened to confront anything that comes at you from the Prince of Darkness. We have to stand up for our nation. We have to stand up for the sake of our children, our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. Because if we don't, then who's going to do it? Let us pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus, for your church. You said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." So build strength into us, Lord. Help us to learn the lessons that are in the Word of God, and to apply those lessons to our lives so that we can become more effective for the kingdom of God and also for our community that is around us, looking at us, waiting for us to, Lord, truly be what your church is intended to be. So, Father, we give you praise, glory, and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you.
Yeah.
appreciate him. It confirms what our brother Tess has been telling us. It's a battle. It's a battle out there. And if we're soldiers, we've got to act like soldiers. And we are strong because we've been trained by the Holy Spirit. And what we have to say, because we are sons and daughters of God, it will be listened to. May not be received nicely, but it will be listened to. Well, look, we'll just sing Oh How I Love Jesus, and on the last chorus we'll come up for, as we stand round for communion. Oh,